This is the second part of a three-part series that features Jim Buckles with BCS Consulting.
What are some of the other mistakes that you see quite often in retail organizations?
One of the biggest problems most retailers have is they never saw a piece of inventory that they did not think they could sell.
Yeah.
A box of ceramic from 25 years ago, they firmly believe there is a buyer someday somewhere. The most incredible example I ever saw, and the retailer shall remain nameless to protect the guilty, I was in their warehouse, and they had a very large warehouse, and just walking their inventory, taking a look at it, and they had on the shelf of avocado green carpet with a harvest gold windowpane plaid that had been there since the 70s. I'm like, why is this still here? Well, we think it's coming back. And they do not realize the money that's tied up and how it can be a real drag on your business. If you have too much of the wrong type of inventory, it's just as bad as throwing the money out the door.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I found, because one of the analyses I'll do is I will break it down by product type and take a look, okay, in the last year, how much of this did you sell, whether it's wood or ceramic or stone or cleaning supplies or whatever it happens to be, and then let's take a look at what kind of supply we have on hand. With the goal being overall we'd like to turn the inventory every couple of months, pad obviously more frequently than that, if you're doing some wooden ceramic buys, perhaps slightly slower. Well, one retailer, I did the analysis, they had a 10-year supply of cleaning supplies based on what they had sold. And they had no idea, because what had happened, the person who was in charge of it had a relationship with the local vendor, and they just did a restock order periodically without ever looking to see what they had in stock.
So basically, the rule of thumb there is for a retailer to have some sort of a ruling, okay, if it stays here past a certain amount of time, out the door it goes, and we sell it for whatever we can?
Exactly. Because it's a very difficult thing to have to admit to yourself you made a bad purchasing decision.
But everybody does.
But if the market is not purchasing it, then you made a bad purchasing decision. Area rugs are particularly notable for that, because people will stock area rugs, and the smart retailers recognize things that are sitting and need to move, and they mark them down because they'd rather get their money out or even slightly less so they can buy something they can sell for a profit.
So I guess what we're seeing is a particular retailer who doesn't really spend a lot of time looking over his financial statement is basically not aware of the dollars and cents that he has sitting back there idle in his warehouse. Is that pretty much the way it is?
Yes, that's absolutely true.
I can't imagine that. I mean, every retailer, I suspect, has an accountant, and I can't imagine that they don't tell them this on a regular basis, and what the retailers just choose not to follow that advice.
Well, that would actually be a bit of a mistaken assumption, Dave, because a lot of them do not have an accountant that is working with them on a month-to-month basis. They have someone who is in charge of their books in some fashion. It may be someone who actually has some training in being a bookkeeper. In a lot of cases, it is perhaps someone who's been with them for a long time that started off taking care of their accounts payable and grew into the position as they got bigger. They don't have the formal training. It is through no fault of their own, and they're getting the books closed, and they're doing it, but they are not trained in looking at this information. And the same thing holds true with the larger companies that maybe they have a controller who's doing that, who is making sure the numbers are accurate, but they're not of a size to afford a CFO. because they'd have to spend, you know, depending on the marketplace, $100,000 or more for a CFO, and they're only a $8 or $10 million company, and that's a lot of money to spend for that financial advice.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's part of what I do for a number of people, is work with them on a monthly basis, working with their people to give them that access, because they don't have it.
You are their chief of financial officer, but you're part-time.
Exactly.
I gotcha. Well, I would think that most every retailer would have some relationship of that sort. I guess that's not the case.
No, and I was talking with some people in the industry at Surfaces this year, and they are hearing from more and more retailers that they have this need, because they now recognize, I need someone to tell me more than how much money I made.
Yeah.
But they can't afford somebody like that full-time. They need the help.
I gotcha. Well, I can see that. Now, you had mentioned earlier metrics and ratios, and I'm sure, I guess, with a working knowledge of financial statements, you can tell the direction of the business, the trends in the business, by looking at specific items on the financial statements and their ratios with other parts of those financial statements. Talk about some of those metrics and ratios that you feel most retailers really need to understand better.
One of the biggest is, I would say, a large majority. I would even be willing to wager 80 or 90% of the retailers have never looked at a monthly cash flow statement, much less had someone sit down and explain to them what it means. They look at their P&L and they do not understand when they're making money why they have no cash, or they're not making money and they do have cash. They don't sit down and force themselves to recognize that allowing their receivables to increase is using up their cash, that paying down their payables is using up their cash.
Uh-huh.
And it forces them to see it through a different set of eyes. The same way, majority of them, if you ask them how many days of sales they have in their receivables, they have no idea. That they have absolutely no clue how many days of sales they have in their receivables. They only take a look at it, and in many cases feel good because it's going up, because that means they're getting a lot of sales.
That's interesting. So then at any one given time, they're really just in the dark as to where their business is.
Yeah, which is why, as I said earlier, there's some very astute entrepreneurs just based on experience and their gut feel. They look at these things and manage to work their way through without ever knowing exactly why something concerns them.
Now, I talk to a lot of retailers, and I mostly ask all of them if they have some kind of industry-specific software, and I find that most of them don't. Now, I know it's possible to know all this stuff if you're doing it the old-fashioned way, but it would seem to be a lot more difficult. Is that the case?
Oh, it is. I mean, I'm just shocked anyone would not be working with one of the industry-specific softwares. The price of entry is nothing like it was. You know, back in the day, I mean, it was a significant investment, both in hardware and network, and people didn't have expertise, so you were having to hire very expensive people. Now, a number of the software vendors, RFMS being the one I'm most familiar with, but you know, RFMS does it, Rollmaster does it, pretty sure CDMS is doing it now, Qfloors, have a cloud version of their software where you do not have to have anything other than an internet connection and some fairly simple equipment to have the software and to start working with it, so you can start getting some numbers that are meaningful. A lot of retailers are working with a QuickBooks or even just still paper and Excel sheets, and they really don't know where they are until the end of the year when they take the banker's box full of documents to their CPA, who 2 months later gives them a tax return that they sign, and their only question is, do I owe money?
This will conclude the second part of a three-part series. We're talking with Jim Buckles of BCS Consulting. We'll have the final part of this series tomorrow. This is Floor Radio.